Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast, where each day we read a passage of ancient wisdom designed to help you in your everyday life. But on Fridays, we not only read this daily meditation, but I try to answer some questions from listeners and fellow Stoics who are trying to apply this philosophy, whatever it is they happen to do. Sometimes these are from talks. Sometimes these are people who come up to talk to me on the street. Sometimes these are written in or emailed from listeners. But I hope in answering their questions, I can answer your questions, give a little more guidance on this philosophy we're all trying to follow. I'm just about to go into the studio to record my latest audiobook. My wife and I have been listening to audiobooks. We've been listening to audiobooks in the car as a family just to keep our kids off screens because Audible is amazing. And Audible is also the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next to listen recommendations to satisfy every type of thriller listener. If you want breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that will enthrall you, even brand new and exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, then you want to check out Audible. My wife and I were just raving about this true crime audiobook that we read called Furious Hours. And then I've been raving about this book, Night of the Grizzlies, which I loved. Audio piques the imagination and it brings thrillers to life. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Visit audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. That's audible.com/dailystoic or text dailystoic to 500-500. The Daily Stoic is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. One of the cool things about podcasts is that you can multitask while you're listening, but depending on what you're doing right now, like for instance, if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing. You could be getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. The evidence is in the mirror. There was a message there in the mirror this morning. Did you see it? It must have been a strange experience for Marcus the first time he saw it, waking up, looking at his reflection, and noticing his hair turning gray, feeling his body creak, looking at the crow's feet at the corner of his eyes, the wild hairs jutting this way and that from his eyebrows. Even for someone who had so actively practiced and meditated on the idea of memento mori, it would have been a rather vivid reminder to him that he was getting older, that each day a little more life left him, never to return. The only way to get through this life without losing your mind is to make peace with the fact that you will lose everything else at some point, maybe your mind too, and there's nothing you can do about it, writes Mary Laura Philpont in her book, Bomb Shelter. You can't hold on to anything, even your own face, which makes it awfully insulting that you have to look at it all the time. But maybe that's the job of our faces, to help us get used to letting go. In fact, a lot of things in life can do this job. Seneca tells us of the rude awakening he had one day visiting a family estate and noticing the trees he had planted as a young man were dying of old age. We can talk philosophically about time and age all we want, but they'll mean very little if we ignore the incontrovertible proof that life gives us about these very ideas. It matters little if we wrestle with our mortality on the page while we deny the reality of what is shining back at us in the mirror. We're on a one-way train and we're not in control of where it stops. We cannot fool ourselves with expensive creams or surgeries, and no amount of dyes or hair pieces will change the urgency of what we need to learn how to accept and then let go of. It's funny, Austin Monthly did this little piece about the painted porch, and they sent me back the picture. And it was like one of the first photos I've seen in a while where I looked old, like I looked haggard. Now, I don't think the lighting was spectacular on this piece. There's some shadows. But like my first thought was, and I posted this on Instagram,
You can follow me at Ryan Holiday. I said, man, so this is what running a bookstore does to a person. But the truth is, this is what 35 years on this planet does to a person. That'd be the halfway point for a good chunk of human history. Actually, for a good chunk of human history, that would be the end point. But the fact of the matter is, I am no longer the young kid that I once was. I still feel young. I'm still young in many ways, of course. But I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm just saying I am starting to feel exactly what Mary is talking about here. But the Memento Mori coin helps with that. I've got the Memento Mori ring that I've been wearing lately when I travel. Memento Mori is an active practice, but it's also there staring you in the face, in the mirror, every day. It's the gray hair you catch in the bathroom sink or on the comb. It's all of that. If you need a reminder, we've got some amazing, beautiful ones that thousands of people all over the world carry with them everywhere, including myself. And you can check that out at store.dailystoic.com.
You mentioned your former leader at American Apparel. And is that what started to inform your work about the ego? And is that where it began?
A little bit. So I'd written actually the last day of my book tour for my book, The Obstacle Is the Way. I was still sort of a consultant at American Apparel. And I got a call from the CFO that had just been part of the decision to fire Doug. And I was asked to come back to sort of consult on the attempted turnaround. And, I thought it'd be interesting. I thought it might take a couple weeks, sort of make some quick decisions. Ended up getting there and sort of watched this, almost Greek drama of a person sort of destroying everything that they'd ever worked for. You know, at the end of it, 12,000 people lost their jobs. It's really horrible. But it had happened that I'd recently sold a book about humility. I was trying to work on this book about humility and watching just, I was going to write about humility. And then when I watched ego on such a grand scale play out, what I realized is that as important as humility is, it's really about the absence of ego. It's really about the destructive effects of ego. So it was kind of just a real glimpse into this thing that, I tend to write about historical figures, but you watch how the same things happen over and over and over again. The story of Dove Charney is the story of John DeLorean, is the story of the founder of WeWork. This is what happens, right? And it was watching that play out that definitely informed the book for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. I remember first hearing your podcast with Tim Ferriss and just you trapped me at that point. So I think we sent out the link to that podcast for the YPO members. I highly recommend listening to that. I have another question. When you are pursuing something others don't see, or see as possible, is confidence enough to sustain you? Don't you need some ego?
So I guess if we're defining ego as what I'm defining it as, sort of arrogance and self-centeredness and selfishness and sort of an exemption from the rules, so on and so forth, I would say no. To me, I wrote about this actually in Stillness. I think the story of David and Goliath is the story of ego on the one hand and Goliath, but it's confidence in David. It's not ego that makes him think that he can take on Goliath. It's a real understanding of his strengths, but it's also a real understanding of Goliath's weakness. And so what David matched with the story of David and Goliath is not a little guy beating a big guy. It's the strengths of a little guy being directed very clearly at a specific weakness of the big guy. And so that takes self-awareness, right? If David had tried to engage Goliath in hand-to-hand, one-on-one combat, which is what an egotistical person might have done, that would be a very different story. David realizes that he's little, that he's not a skilled fighter, but he understands that his sling is an advantage, and that the element of surprise is an advantage. And so, to me, I think confidence is important, belief that you can do it. Right? There were other soldiers in that army, people who are much more trained, who are experts at the stuff, who didn't believe they could do anything about it. Famously in the story, Goliath's challenge goes unanswered for 90 straight days. So I think confidence is important. When I wrote my first book, it wasn't, this is something I'd never done before. So it wasn't ego that said, oh, of course you can do this. Of course it will be a huge success. Of course, of course, of course. To me, that would be egotistical and would have set me up for failure. What I did was, okay, have I tackled hard projects before? Yes. Have I done the work? You know, I'd apprenticed under a great writer. Okay. Have I put myself in a position where I'm willing to ask questions? Right. It's all the traits that made it possible for me to succeed. But the idea that I would be certain that this would work would have not only not been honest, I think would have been quite dangerous. So one can have confidence in themselves based on what they've done before that can make it a worthwhile risk to go do something that you haven't done before. And that can sustain you through that gap, across that chasm. But I think ego is what, you know, you run out under over a cliff and you just think your momentum's going to carry you, but eventually gravity pulls you down.
Excellent. You had mentioned GameStop earlier, and we have a question and a statement about a group of amateur Reddit traders put Wall Street into a tailspin with a surge of GameStop and other underperforming stocks. This individual would love to hear your perspective on this and the likelihood of it seeing more of these things happen.
Well, I think we're definitely going to see more of these things happen, and I think you could look at it from a financial standpoint, and I think there's a bunch of stuff to talk about there that's probably above my pay grade. As someone who's written a lot about media manipulation, and what I see happening there is that same sort of mob internet energy that was behind Gamergate, that was behind some of these conspiracy theories that we see. I don't see it as the little guys taking on Wall Street and winning. Although I think there's probably a little bit of truth to that. To me, I see that sort of hyperactive sort of male internet energy being focused at a specific target that caught a lot of people off guard. I think we'll see more of that. Will it be this effective in the future? I would say probably not. Are most of the people involved in it probably going to get, you know, caught holding the bag? Yes. But are, you know, some people sort of expertly wielding it? Sure. So I think, you know, you could probably argue there's ego all around there, and that's what's creating kind of a perfect storm of craziness. I like the Warren Buffett line about, you know, being greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy. And I see a lot of greed there and think I'm probably going to steer clear.
Yeah, excellent. Someone would just like to know how long your morning walk is.
Yeah, so I live on a dirt road out here in Texas. So from my house to the start of the street where all the mailboxes of all my neighbors is about 1.5 miles. So we do that 1.5 miles there and back every morning. So it's about 3 miles. It takes a little less than an hour, and I push my kids in a stroller, and it's sort of the quiet time that I start the day with.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing the personal side. We have a question. How do you see those who have achieved Robert Greene's concept of mastery demonstrate gratitude and pushing back ego, demonstrating a practice of gratitude?
Well, I think Robert's Mastery, which I think is here, it's a great book. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend it to anyone who hasn't read it. I think, you know, coming up with kind of a life's task, a thing you commit to yourself to, even as you get great, humility is the byproduct of that. I think mastery, becoming a dedicated lifelong student of something, is inherently humbling. And even, you know, Robert, the second chapter in that book is about apprenticeships. And Robert was my mentor and continues to be. I was just talking to him on the phone the other day. One of that apprenticeship has gone on longer than I think most. But one of the reasons I continue to do it, and one of the reasons it's been so helpful to me, is Robert's getting better every single day. And so even as I've gotten better and grown, it's inherently humbling to have this person above you who you're always learning from. And so I think, the pursuit of mastery can be inherently humbling if you choose for it to be so. Robert's next book is about the concept of the sublime, these sort of sublime experiences. He talks a little bit about this in the Laws of Human Nature, also very good. But I think practicing gratitude, really looking at all the good in your life, all the lucky breaks that you've gotten, how wondrous and amazing everything is. This is also very humbling. And that's sort of what I get on those walks outside in nature as well. It's just some sense of something larger than myself, something that I feel lucky to be a part of and appreciate. And so, yeah, I think gratitude and mastery are two sides of the same coin.
You know, the Stoics in real life met at what was called the Stoa Pokile, the painted porch in ancient Athens. Obviously, we can't all get together in one place because this community is like hundreds of thousands of people and we couldn't fit in one space. But we have made a special digital version of the Stoa. We're calling it Daily Stoic Life. It's an awesome community. You could talk about like today's episode. You could talk about the emails, ask questions. That's one of my favorite parts is interacting with all these people who are using Stoicism to be better in their actual real lives. You get more Daily Stoic meditations over the weekend just for the Daily Stoic Life members, quarterly Q&As with me, cloth-bound edition of our best of meditations, plus a whole bunch of other stuff, including discounts. And this is the best part, all our Daily Stoic courses and challenges totally for free, hundreds of dollars of value every single year, including our New Year, New You Challenge. We'd love to have you join us. There's a two-week trial totally for free. Check it out at dailystoiclife.com. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.